There are certain events that change things forever. In our nation, the most important is, of course, the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate as occurring on July 4th, 1776. But for some of our American brothers and sisters held captive in the sinful economic practice of slavery, that date didn't come true until June 19, 1865, nearly 90 years later. For some, it could be when they were able to vote. And for many immigrants, it could be the day they enter this country or the day they become citizens. So we can commemorate different dates for the same event, and yet all these different dates tie in integrally into the original life-changing event. So it is for us and the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was an event that changed the world, indeed the universe, forever. Even for those who do not now know Jesus, it has changed their lives. For all of us, it begins to be real with our baptisms. And if you were at our Easter Vigil Holy Saturday night, you witnessed 12 new members of our parish enter the church, or you perhaps were one of that 12. In our gospel today, the disciples who encountered the risen Christ on the road to Emmaus were spreading the good news to the apostles and the other disciples when they all encountered Christ. In these readings this week, we hear of the encounters that make the resurrection real to the disciples. We do not hear of when Mary, the Mother of God, has her encounter with her Son. That personal and private reunion is not recounted anywhere, but it surely happened. And Mary, the first to encounter Jesus at the Annunciation, was surely the first to experience the truth of her Son's resurrection and to better understand what she said yes to decades before. It has taken centuries for the news of the resurrection to spread over the surface of this earth and to reach all peoples. In some parts of the world, the message has been accepted with joy and gratitude, but in far too many hearts around the world, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is either not accepted or, worse, heard and only accepted on the surface, not spread to others or embodied in actions, words, and attitudes. In our gospel today, the risen Christ proclaims to his friends, his disciples, that thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. How do we then live out this repentance? How do we preach this? Let us consider two thoughts, one from our nation's past and present, the other from Pope Francis's audience yesterday. First, in our nation, after the horrors of the Civil War, was the idea of Reconstruction as a way of healing our divided and wounded nation. This idea, unfortunately, blocked and imperfectly applied, was rooted in the notion of justice. That is, it is the work of us as a nation to work for justice in reconstructing the damage done to our society from past sin. In that way, we bear the responsibility of helping those who repent from past sinful actions and attitudes, as well as show those unrepentant how we should all act and present ourselves. This work in our nation is still in need of full implementation, but it has been started, and not just on our shores, but shown in the reconstruction of Germany and Japan after World War II, with both former adversaries now essential partners with us. In addition to our nation's continued healing and reconstructing a just society, is our responsibility to the international world in participating in and leading reconstruction in areas of need, such as Ukraine, the Holy Land, and Haiti. Our brothers and sisters in these nations are in need of healing and justice, and this will take time. But to paraphrase a fellow parishioner, We choose to do these things not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to accomplish. I think we could say that Jack listened to the gospel. Secondly, let us reflect on Pope Francis's words from his audience yesterday. Today, we talk about justice. It is the quintessential social virtue. The Catechism of the Catholic Church defines it as the moral virtue that consists in the constant and firm will to give their due to God and neighbor. Pope Francis continues, "This is justice. Often, when justice is mentioned, the motto that represents it is also quoted, to each his own. Its purpose is that in society, everyone is treated in accordance with the dignity proper to them. But already the ancient masters taught that for this, other virtuous attitudes are necessary, such as benevolence, respect, gratitude, affability, and honesty, virtues that contribute to a good coexistence between people. Justice is a virtue for good coexistence between people." Pope Francis's audience is too long to quote further, so I encourage you to look at the website for America Magazine and read it in its entirety. Finally, I close with the suggestion that you read an account of the resurrection in one of the Gospels. I'm choosing Luke. And then pay attention to the readings from the Acts of the Apostles that we hear this Easter season. Perhaps read further from this fifth gospel that should inspire us to live as Jesus calls us to do. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.